Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 1-800-362-1368. And from Accuride Corporation, a supplier of components to the North American commercial vehicle industry. With global headquarters in Evansville and a steel wheel plant in Henderson, Accuride is proud to be red and blue, too. More information at AccuridCorp.com. And from Jackson Kelly PLLC. Jackson Kelly provides a full range of legal services, including corporate planning, litigation, environmental and real estate law to clients in the Indiana, Illinois, and Kentucky region and beyond. Client focus, national reputation, industry insight. Learn more at JacksonKelly.com. Additional production support provided by Michael Kaufman. From the banks of the Ohio in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical red host Ben Shoulders and obsessive blue host Evan Beck.
Good evening, Hoops fans, and welcome to Red Blue Hoops. My name is Ben Shoulders, past president of the IU Alumni Association of Greater Evansville, and your voice for IU men's basketball this entire Hoops season. Joining me, the big cat, should I say grande cat, Mr. Evan Beck.
El Español tonight? What's going on?
Yeah, maybe.
What's up, B-Dog? Hey, it's finally getting a little bit warmer outside.
A little bit.
It's getting a little hotter in Bloomington.
Getting close.
Unfortunately, for reasons that aren't necessarily great. But, I'm starting a little nervous.
Yeah.
I've never been undefeated this late in the season.
Yeah.
Don't know how to act.
Yeah.
It's different watching the games. You know, it's just a different frame of mind and But looking forward to tonight's show. Mm-hmm. We have a great show lined up.
We do have a great show.
You've worked hard in between shows. And
Thank you.
In addition to covering our latest games and some court storming activities recently, we have a very special guest tonight.
We do.
During our second segment, going to call in. And then after the guest, we'll discuss upcoming games and touch on some recent discussions about a couple of conferences, Big Ten being one of those.
Yep.
Talking about making freshmen ineligible again. So up first, season review, and you want to kick it off?
I'll try to be brief. And first of all, I want to say one more time, I missed you, Evan, last week.
Oh, Ben, it was awesome.
I missed seeing your face, I missed everyone here. I want to say thank you again to Aaron Wilson for filling in. Did a great job. So thank you, Aaron, and Aaron, go Hoosiers.
He did a great job. Give us a call tonight, 812-426-7400 or tweet at Red Blue Hoops. Ben?
Well, Evan, I'll be as quick as I can because I have technically three games to cover. If you recall, the reason I couldn't be here last Thursday was because I was at Assembly Hall. I called in.
You did.
Pretty pumped. I will say this. The crowd was awesome. I literally looked up with a friend that I was with. I did not see one empty seat. I think we saw maybe one up in the balcony, but it was packed. I mean, it was like atmosphere-wise, just like the IU-Purdue rivalry used to be when it was Katie versus Knight. So it was pretty awesome. I wish I could say the same for the result. We lost by four. Therefore, we got swept by our rival. It was really tough to take. Our Achilles heel all season has been size, and Purdue's got, you know, 2 7-footers and a guy that might as well be 7 foot in Hammonds. He's just a beast down low. And that Jared Haas, I mean, he's 7'2" freshman, 310 pounds. That guy, I mean, he will be in the league probably in 3 years, definitely. But if he stays in 4 years, and that guy is going to be a player. You know, that all being said, we were down two with 10 seconds left. Yogi shoots a three, thought it was going in, he missed it. They got the rebound. We had to foul him and make two free throws. We lose by four. So it is what it is. It was tough to take. But we came back, played on the road against Rutgers Sunday. Rutgers is not the toughest team in the world.
Ranked 222nd.
They're not that good. It was a road game, and everybody says, oh, IU can't win on the road. We came in there kind of sloppy the first 6-7 minutes of the game. Kind of slow. Up 10 at half, which was good. Ended up winning by 30. 84-54, shot 53% from the field, hit 10 threes. We did miss 8 free throws, and I'll get to the free throws in a second. I don't understand the free throws because we're traditionally, and even this year, a very good free throw shooting team. But we did miss 8 free throws. But overall, a great performance. And we held them to 37% shooting. So it was a great performance, especially on the road, which was our third Big Ten road win. Very, very good game for the Hoosiers. I think that that was our 19th win of the season. I think that not just myself, but many other IU fans out there kind of got a little bit, I don't want to say cocky, but a little too ahead of ourselves, thought, hey, now we're going to get our 20th win, which is what every team wants to do in February, regardless of the first of February, last February, you want to get to 20 wins in February. And, that's the goal by any team. And, we didn't. Last night we lost on the road to Northwestern. I really don't know what happened in that game. We're first in the Big Ten in offense, 12th in the country, first in the Big Ten in threes, 9th in the country, and we went a 10-minute stretch in the second half with zero field goals. I don't know how that can happen against with a team that's number one in offense in the Big Ten. 40-40 at half, and we just – I don't know what happened. We just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. It was really bad. Ended up getting beat. Really, the only player that played worth his salt was Troy Williams. 21 points, 14 rebounds. He almost had half our total rebounds. Other than that, even Yogi didn't really play. I really don't know what happened. Our defense was just horrendous. It's something I'll talk about later. It's just been a disappointment, which is the opposite of last year. We were a great defensive team last year and terrible offensively. I don't get it. So now we're 19-10. I would say it's a must-win Tuesday at home against Iowa. That's just my two cents. So that's how we've done the last eight days, Evan. How about your Wildcats?
Well, before we get to the Wildcats, a couple of questions following up on your game reviews. Tom Crean has only won 21 games or more 6 times in his career. Will he win more than 21 this season, in your opinion, based on your final 2 games and then the Big Ten Conference tournament?
I will say yes.
Okay. All right.
I will say yes.
And a couple, it's tough when you lose. It's tough. I think you guys are 4-6 your last 10 games. Is that right?
Yes.
That's a tough situation to be in. I've been there, when we were going through the late Tubby years in Gillespie, or 2 years ago with Calipari, we're in that situation. And it's not easy being a passionate fan. But yep. A couple of stats that I found interesting is Tom Crean is 0-8 versus Purdue without Cody Zeller. And Northwestern is a team that's never been to the NCAA tournament.
Only BCS school in the country that hasn't.
That's a crazy stat. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Northwestern has beaten Tom 7 out of 11 games while he's been at IU, which is a crazy stat. So just some interesting points of perspective there. I was looking at your scoring margin in the conference, and that's a big telltale sign. This is inclusive of you guys beating Rutgers by 30. You guys only have a 1.3 scoring margin right now in conference. That tells you what's your conference record right now? Do you know?
We're 9-7.
9-7. So that kind of leads to almost a 500 squad. You guys won some good road games, Nebraska, earlier in the season, which helped out a lot. But, okay, on to Kentucky. Last Saturday, Ben, I told you it was going to be a special day, not so much because of the game. We hosted a terrible Auburn team coached by
Bruce Pearl
was back in Rupp Arena.
Former USI head coach.
And we sat behind the bench for the first 10 minutes of the game. I was actually right behind Bruce's chair, and he gave me a head nod and a wink before the game started. And he was as intense as always. And his son, Steven, who played at Tennessee for him, is an assistant now. So it's fun to see those guys. But we blew Auburn out 110-75. The game was over in the first 10 minutes. The score was 30-4.
Yeah.
Auburn didn't have the basketball touch the net until the 11-21 mark in the first half. Their first 2 points were scored on a goaltending call against Kentucky. So can you imagine going that long and never seeing the ball go through the basket?
They're
that's
terrible.
That's insane. They're terrible. But yeah. Kentucky played obviously very well. 110 points is the most points in a conference game since 2002.
Mm-hmm.
We had 6 players in double figures. We had 2 more with 9 points. We had no player playing more than 27 minutes. But again, at halftime was when it was really special. Kentucky retired the jersey of Tony Delt, 00.
Yep.
And it was a special occasion. My wife and son had never seen a jersey retiring ceremony at Rupp Arena before. And Tony Delk, such a class act, did a great job. His family was with him, three beautiful daughters, brothers, and his high school coach was there. His speech was fantastic. He mentioned Rick Pitino, and no one booed.
Yep.
Everyone handled it with class, which I was a little bit surprised there.
I was surprised.
But he recognized Billy Donovan as the reason he came to UK.
Huh.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. He gave a lot of kudos to Cal Perry because, as you know, Tony worked for Cal Perry for two seasons on his coaching staff.
That's
so
right.
That was a fun night in Lexington. Big win. One thing I will say is Carl Towns, that guy, his last, I think after the Auburn game, he's averaging 13 points, 9 rebounds, nearly 2 assists, in only 23 minutes a game, and he was 17 out of 18 free throws as a 7-footer. Pretty cool.
And he's on the cover of the Sports Illustrated, I think I saw this week.
Kyle Wiltshire.
Oh, is that Wiltshire?
Former Wildcat at Gonzaga. So that was the Auburn game.
I saw Towns on there, but maybe not.
What you may have seen is the Harrison twins are on the cover.
That's what I'm thinking of. Okay.
Sports Illustrated for kids.
There you go. Well, you're a kid. So
I am a kid at heart. Okay, last night we were on the road at Mississippi State.
They're
another not very good team.
I was trying to
SEC.
Find what they're ranked. I don't even see them.
They
anywhere.
Are. They were
the top 250.
I've got it right here, buddy. Mississippi State ranked 162nd. Not quite as bad as Rutgers, but in that same realm.
And what's Auburn?
Auburn going into that game was 142nd. So we played the two dweller teams of the SEC. A big snowstorm hit Mississippi last night. The fans, not many people showed up, but there were a lot of Kentucky fans in the stands last night. It was what I call a cruise control game. I've given this year's team that name. There's a lot of games where they kind of put it on cruise control for a while. Mississippi State cut it to 4. Kentucky put their game face back on, started playing defense, and 5 minutes later they were up 23. The game was over. Yeah. The cool part of the game, our shortest player, Tyler Euless, 5'9", blocked a shot.
Wow.
I saw on Twitter a Kentucky fan said, if you're an opposing team and your shot gets blocked by Tyler Euless, you might as well just go ahead and forfeit. Thought that was kind of humorous.
That is funny.
It did allow Kentucky to clinch a share of its 46th SEC championship, which is great news. We had 15 assists. This team continues to share the ball really well. Again, no player is logging a lot of minutes on this squad, so we're staying pretty fresh right now.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Mississippi State not very good. I want to give a shout-out to the Big Blue Nation. They were road warriors. They braved that winter storm, and we had a lot of fans there last night. Couldn't believe it. I heard multiple busloads from the state of Kentucky got down there last night. So
very nice. Very
so
nice.
We stay undefeated. We're 28-0, and it's fun.
Yeah, it is. And I'll say this before we get – and by the way, folks, 812-426-7400. Before we get to the next topic, that's how IU and Kentucky have done in the last week. But I want to say this real quick, Evan. It was kind of cool. I've always said, unbiasedly, that the 76 IU Hoosiers and the 96 Kentucky Wildcats, in my opinion, are the two greatest teams of all time. And Quinn Buckner, as I think Aaron spoke to last week, was honored inducted into the College Basketball Hall of Fame the week before. And then this past week, Delk retired jersey at Kentucky. So either the point guard or shooting guard from the two greatest teams of all time, in my opinion, both honored and or inducted. It's kind of cool that happened within 7 days of one another.
That is very cool. I did leave out one stat that I thought was interesting. You know, Cal Perry teams traditionally are not very good free throw shooting teams, even dating back to UMass, Memphis, for whatever reason. You know, it cost them a title in 08, obviously. But this year's team now is shooting 71% from the line. Last night on the road, they shot 92% from the free throw line. So what's going on? I don't know.
Well, and I meant to say, too, that IU, in addition to the Rutgers game, also missed 9 free throws against Northwestern. So I don't get that. It's kind of the role reversal. I don't get that at all. So, 812-426-7400. You know, we have a special caller calling in here in a few minutes. But before we go to break, we wanted to touch on a topic, Evan, that was kind of become a hot commodity in the last week. And that is the whole topic of court storming.
Oh, yeah.
It's just gotten to be kind of crazy. Your thoughts, first of all.
Well,
it's really not even jokingly funny anymore.
No, it's not. You and I started tweeting after the Kansas lost at Kansas State. That's what got this whole discussion going between the two of us. Bill Self, the coach of Kansas, had some pretty strong words in his post-game press conference because they have it on video. One of the Kansas State fans literally came running out of the stands, intentionally ran over to a Kansas player, gave him a hard you know, what you call like a left chicken wing.
Right.
You know, so he made intentional contact with the player. And at some point in time during a court storm, there's going to be an opposing player loses cool, and someone's going to get jacked up and hurt.
There is.
And then it'll lead to a player being suspended. Mm-hmm. Who knows what. But it made me think back to the history of Kentucky and the court storming experiences that we've had. And I thought back to our John Wall team, DeMarcus Cousins team, lost at South Carolina, stormed the court.
Yeah.
And Cousins, he reared back because a fan came and pushed him.
Yeah.
And so,
I know.
You know,
I know you talk about
it's
the
a bad
Darius
deal.
Miller thing. We got a caller. Geraldine calling in.
Geraldine, hey, how are you guys?
Hey, Geraldine, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
It's good to hear your voice back on the air again.
Thank you, Geraldine. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. I just have a comment and then a quick question. My comment is, I've long been a contender that there is probably, as far as I'm concerned, no more important shot in the game of basketball than the free throw. So I am very pleased to hear what Evan just said about UK's free throw statistics from that last game, because I think many games, many battles have been lost on the free throw line.
Wholeheartedly so agree.
Very happy to hear that. And my question is, I agree with you, Evan. I heard you say something earlier about the undefeated mantle, and it really is almost a weight that is probably laying across the shoulder of every single boy on that team right now. And I'm just curious if you think that's going to help or hurt them as we move through the rest of this season and into postseason play.
Well, that's a great question, and it's something that's being discussed on a regular basis by the media and the fan base, people asking Cal Perry about it and some of the players. But I will tell you that my observations this past Saturday in Rupp Arena prior to the Auburn game, this group of kids, for whatever reason, up to this point, they've handled it really well. They are staying in the moment. They are trusting Cal Perry and the leadership that he's given them. I think the fans are more nervous about it than the players, quite honestly. I really do. I think these guys are dialed in right now, and they're taking it game by game from what I can tell at this time. Who knows when the tournament rolls around what that pressure is going to be like, but it does change these games. From my perspective as a fan, mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there watching the game last night, and we're up four, and I'm like, my stomach starts to turn. I'm like, hold on now. This game has no bearing on us winning or losing mm-hmm. the national championship, but
right.
This is fun. You want to win. You want to see this team take a run at history, so it's kind of neat. I think we'll do okay, though.
Well, thanks for the call, Geraldine. I wanted to get back real quick before we go to break on the court storming. I remember 2 years ago when we were number one in the country, and Illinois snapped our undefeated Big Ten season.
Yeah.
Sheehy got a fan, kind of came at him. He didn't, you know, rear back or anything, but it can be ugly. And, of course, you talk about the UK thing, even at Assembly Hall. So it's just not good for the game. I mean, it's just not good.
Darius Miller got trampled in Bloomington after the 3-1 in. But then last year when Arkansas beat us on the tip-in dunk, a fan came running out of the stands at Aaron Harrison with his fist back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane. So it's got to stop.
Well, folks, when we come back, former IU team captain calling in, 88-3.
Go Be Blue.
Support comes from Jackson Kelly PLLC. Jackson Kelly provides a full range of legal services, including corporate planning, litigation, environmental and real estate law to clients in the Indiana, Illinois, and Kentucky region and beyond. Client focus, national reputation, industry insight. Learn more at jacksonkelly.com. And from Accuride Corporation, a supplier of components to the North American commercial vehicle industry. With global headquarters in Evansville and a steel wheel plant in Henderson, Accuride is proud to be red and blue too. More information at accuridecorp.com. And from Nicholson, McNamara & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 1-800-362-1368. And additional production support provided by Michael Kaufman.
Red Blue Hoops is pre-recorded, so don't pick up that phone.
And we're back, folks. Thanks for tuning in to Red Blue Hoops, and thank you to Geraldine for calling in. As we wait for former IU team captain to call in here, 1970 IU team captain. I want to touch on one more thing. You know, we were talking about, you mentioned Rick Pitino and some other folks. You know, Bob Knight, as you know, still does color for some ESPN folks. And he had a little incident over the weekend. I don't know if you caught that.
I did. It was an SMU game.
It was SMU Baylor, I believe.
He was yelling at these.
There was a supposed, I don't know if it was a fan or a player. I'm not sure. I couldn't tell. But somebody came up kind of in his peripheral vision and kind of got in his space. And, I mean, he just starts going nuts. And, hey, boy, you know, that kind of thing. And, boy, it just reminded me of 15 years ago when he used to be the coach, and I can tell that voice and that rant from anywhere.
And it's so ironic, Ben. It's so ironic that this happened on the 30th anniversary of when he threw the chair during the infamous Purdue game. You know, that's just ironic.
Oh, I know.
To me.
30 years ago this past week.
At some point, Bob needs to just walk away and, I mean, take himself out of situations that put him at risk of making a bad decision. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, it's 30 years ago this past, I think it was Monday, to the date, that when he threw the chair. And it was over three different fouls in a row, one of them which was Marty Simmons. It was offered, then he got mad. Simmons, he lost. He got the technical. Then it was Daryl Thomas.
All right, Ben.
Hey, so do we have former 1970 IU team captain, Mr. Rick Atkinson, on the phone?
Hey, Ben, is that you?
Rick, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Yeah, so you're talking KU and IU?
No, UK.
Yeah, Evan corrected you.
KU is Kansas.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Well, Rick, thanks for taking time here. We so appreciative of the call, and thank you so much for taking time here. You're the first former IU or Kentucky team captain to ever call into the show. So,
well, let's get down to it. Let's talk the nitty gritty.
Let's do it. Let's do it, Rick.
I love it. I love this stuff.
That's great. And you're calling from, I believe, D.C., right?
Yeah, Washington, D.C. Should we start with Louis Dampier? Have you guys been talking about Dampier?
Not
the Hall of Fame.
Not tonight, but I love Louis Dampier.
That's Evan's guy's Dampier.
He could absolutely shoot the basketball, Rick.
Oh man, are there many guys that saw? Because where I saw him a lot, he's a little bit older than me, and so I saw a lot of ABA games when I was in college living in Bloomington. So I got to see, you know, over and over and over. Where in college, you know, you don't see that much.
Sure.
That release. Oh my God! You know, you just couldn't. You see it now in those films, and you're just thinking, man, it was just a thing of beauty.
Louis Dampier was in Lexington earlier this season, visiting with Cal Perry and talking free throw shooting.
Oh yeah, the thing about that ABA was so much fun. Like Louis, he wasn't physical. The NBA, those guys were studs. Everybody was big and strong, right? Well, he's not like
that's
that.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, big, strong guys can't necessarily shoot, right?
That's right.
So you had all these guys, like he was one of the better ones, but you had a lot of people that were little like that could just light it up.
And that's before that three-point line, too, right?
Yeah, and you knew it wasn't as good as the NBA. But to watch it, it was more fun, really.
Well, Rick, speaking of lighting it up, I mean, you could certainly light it up, too. You were a stud yourself. And so I just kind of wanted to ask you some questions. I wanted, first of all, you know, what was it like? I know this was before Assembly Hall, but what was it like putting on that IU jersey at the time, playing for the Hoosiers, playing for, I believe, Watson uh-huh. was your coach at the time? What was it like then in Bloomington and even in the Big Ten and everything else?
Well, it was fun. Believe me, you know, I think that I would recommend that if anybody would like to do that, I think that would be a good thing to do.
I'll raise my hand. I told Evan beginning of the show, wasn't George McKinnis a freshman when you were a senior?
Actually, I was just at the over here in D.C., so I went to the IU-Maryland game.
Yeah.
And you look at this and you think, well, now Maryland's sold out. Well, what's there seeing that in IU? Oh, no. IU, it's so much fun. It's just a lot of fun. That place is, if you could go there and play basketball, come on. You know
that's
what I mean?
Awesome.
If you grew up here in the D.C., Baltimore, all this kind of stuff, Yeah, you know, your family's here. But darn, man.
I'm with you.
I'll tell you what, you're going to have more fun. And maybe in the basketball, let's just say it's it's the same. We won't even give out you the benefit. It's
right.
Still more fun. It's still more
right.
fun.
I'm with you.
Rick.
The people are crazy over there. They're pretty nutty here, I know.
I've heard that. Evan's got a question for you, Rick.
Rick, thanks again for taking the time to call into Red Blue Hoops tonight. Really appreciate that. Can I get your perspective on the current Indiana basketball team and Coach Tom Crean?
Who's the Coach Crean? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you hesitate to say much. The big thing is they graduate. They don't embarrass us too much. Kids are going to be kids. That's too many. Too many problems. You know, I know an awful lot. I don't know. You guys had Billy Gillespie. You know, one of my friends, one of these little kids I worked with, played for Billy at UTEP.
Really?
And and I don't know, man. It's a tough racket. It brings out something in people. You know, the thing about IU and Kentucky, forget the basketball, the ups and downs. It's the stage, the best game, the most entertaining thing is to see how these men react, the coaches on the stage. And you can sit there and say, I wouldn't do that. You know, guess what? You were never on a stage like that. I wasn't. I just played. That's easy.
Right.
You know, I didn't. Yeah. And I think that's a, I saw people do things crazy, you know, just out of, you'd like to think, well, that guy is not really who he is. So, but it's obviously, it's not good. We know that. Everybody sort of knows that. Yeah. I would hesitate to go into.
Rick, do you like Crean? I don't know how well you know. I know you knew obviously Watson and Knight, but do you, being a former player? I know you didn't play for Crean, obviously, but
he teaches. It looks like if you get down to the basketball, how much do I know? But he teaches. He's all about toughness. So, tough,
right.
tough. Macho. Well, there's a place for that.
Right.
But, you can be tough all you want. You stand in the wrong spot.
Right, right.
So he obviously is not, to me, he's not very gifted. He has shortcuts. But everybody does. Every business that you're in, you got things.
I'm not good
at this. I got to get somebody to help me with that.
That's right.
So, you know, and as basketball people, you tend to get, you always look at, oh, he can't do this or he can't do that. Play, you know, the players, all
sure.
of them, you see what they can't do. So, you know, I don't know. He sure teaches a toughness, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But you know, he doesn't have an aptitude for it. That would be pretty obvious for the strategic thing of it. But you know, I don't know. You know, the truly strategic people don't even coach in the Big Ten. They coach because you know that's all about it. It's a recruiting game. They coach at a lower level where you have to win with savvy.
Yeah,
you know?
that's a good point.
Rather than, we got two good rebounders. What the hell does it matter? Well,
right.
That's right. It doesn't matter. Yeah, we got these guards that can steal the ball anytime we want. We got these people that can shoot. You know,
right.
I don't know.
Do you get a chance to watch all the Indiana games, Rick?
I watch some. To me, Kentucky, Indiana, you know, they don't play hard. I mean, give me a break. Go watch some basketball at a lower level. When you have kids that are that physically talented, what's the guy at Kentucky, he does a heck of a job getting them to play hard.
Right.
But they don't really play that hard. Why would they? How could you
get them? Would you call it, Evan, the hip thing? What'd you call that?
Yeah,
hip line.
Yeah.
Hip line. Yeah.
The fact that he's got 10 of them makes it to where they can fight over playing time so he can get them to play hard.
Right.
But I haven't even watched them, but I know I've watched them. John Wall's here in D.C.
Yes, sir.
And he's saying, we know his story. And
yes,
he's saying how many years he was 5 years. He says, you know, I'm going to start playing. I'm thinking about starting to play defense on every possession.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
Right.
And,
okay.
when you watch those teams, that doesn't – we like to watch people get after it, don't we?
Absolutely.
No, you're right, Rick. You're right. Exactly right. More like the Dampier type time. But I think we got some calls. But, Rick, I tell you what, we got calls coming in. Thank you for calling in. I think we may have some callers calling in. But thank you so much for calling in, Rick. And I hope the Hoosiers can finish strong here and get a decent seed here in the tournament. And we'll get to that later in the show. But I can't thank you enough for calling in.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Definitely.
You guys are great.
1970 team captain of Indiana Hoosiers right here on the phone. So thank you, Rick, for calling in. Thanks a lot.
Ben, that was fascinating. Can you give me a summary of what?
Definitely. Is he? Okay. Yeah. You know, he's the man. And, you know, he talked about Dampier, your boy from
Dampier.
Kentucky. Louis
Dampier.
Dampier. Yeah. And talked about kids playing hard today. Doesn't think they do. I can't argue, you know, because he's seen it since the 60s and 70s and stuff. So in D.C. now, and he sees a lot of ball. So,
that was
fascinating. Rick, thank you again for calling in. And next week, folks, we have probably the biggest personality in Bloomington calling in. I won't say who yet. It's a surprise. But he's on a national stage. He's pretty big. So,
Ben,
but
let me turn the table here a little bit. And that was a fun call from Rick. And hopefully we'll have some other calls later this season from former players. And
yeah.
But as the season has progressed, earlier this year, you gave your personal opinion about Tom Crean. But where do you stand today? I mean, last night, let me just preface this. This is not coming from me personally. I took the time to do research to get to take the temperature of the Indiana fan base last night and this morning. Now, obviously, after a loss, it's, you know, the needle is as high as it'll go. But it seems like it's almost like a dumpster fire right now. I mean, the fan base is just in a meltdown mode. And so where do you see things currently?
Okay. I'll try to put it in perspective as much as I can. Before this season started, okay, I'll go back to something you love so much, and I'll
Ken Pom.
Yeah, Pomeroy, whatever it's called. They predicted them to be 18-13 going into the Big Ten tournament. That's what they predicted. It's fluctuated a lot. It's never gone under 18, but it was always, you know, preseason 18. They've already beat that with two games to go. They've already beat that. So I predicted them to win 20 games. I think they still will.
They should.
They should. They have the last two games are home games, Iowa and Michigan State. And, you know, we'll get to that later here.
Sure.
Upcoming game. Where do I see them stand? I still think overall they've had some, especially last night, some tough games to swallow. But I think overall they have exceeded expectations overall so far.
Right.
Now, not by as much as I would have told you 3 weeks ago after Minnesota and then that Maryland game as well. But I think they have exceeded expectations. Is it enough to say that, you know, I think they'll be a top four or five seed in the tournament? Probably not. I wish they would be, and maybe they'll make a run in the Big Ten tournament. Who knows? But I think overall I can say that they've exceeded overall and my expectations with two games to go. Now, if they lose these last two,
right,
different story.
Sure.
But that's what I think. That's as perspective as I can give you.
Okay, where is the Big Ten tournament this year? Indy or Chicago? It's Chicago.
Chicago.
Chicago. So what will that scene be like?
Well, it depends on where they fall. I mean, right now, I think they're the top. Okay, so here's how the Big Ten tournament stacks up. They're a 7 seed right now. Okay, they were a 4 2 days ago, or a 5 2 days ago. The top 4 seeds get the double bye. The top 6 seeds get the bye. So they're and then the 7-14 don't get anything. So if they can get to the top 6, they get a bye. If they get top 4, they get a double bye. How does it stack up? Well, it depends on what their seed is. If they have to win 4 to win, which is right now what they'd be, I don't know. If they get the 6, they may make a run. Who knows? Thanks again for Rick for calling in. 88-3, go Hoosiers.
Go Big Blue.
Support comes from Accuride Corporation, a supplier of components to the North American commercial vehicle industry. With global headquarters in Evansville and a steel wheel plant in Henderson, Accuride is proud to be red and blue, too. More information at AccuridCorp.com. Support comes from Jackson Kelly PLLC. Jackson Kelly provides a full range of legal services, including corporate planning, litigation, environmental, and real estate law to clients in the Indiana, Illinois, and Kentucky region and beyond. Client focus, national reputation, industry insight. Learn more at JacksonKelly.com. And from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 1-800-362-1368. And additional production support provided by Michael Kaufman.
Red Blue Hoops is pre-recorded, so don't pick up that phone.
Welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. Give us a call, 812-426-7400, or tweet at Red Blue Hoops. Touching back on, I was mentioning the conference tournaments. And earlier this week, Ben, the Nashville Convention and Visitors Bureau released a statement to all restaurants, establishment. This is in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All the hotels, not a warning, but just a preparedness type situation. That arena holds 20,000 people. And the tickets are supposedly, you know, sold fairly among the 14 teams in SEC. They're anticipating 50,000 Kentucky fans in Nashville for that tournament.
But no, I agree with that. Wow. Because if they win these last two or three games, and they're people in the, I mean, a lot of people have, I think Aaron even said it last week, is people are saying, hey, neutral floor,
sure.
And you get a, you know, whoever, Arkansas,
well,
or Florida.
You know,
Florida,
I've been to a couple of tournaments there, and I can't remember if it was the John Wall year or later. There were more Kentucky fans watching games outside of the arena than were in the arena. They ended up closing Broadway down completely and turning into a Kentucky fan festival. It was awesome. We have a caller on the line. We have Francis from St. Louis. Francis?
Hi.
How you doing, sweetheart?
Thanks for calling in.
How are you?
I'm doing great, Francis.
I just wanted to call in and say this is my first time listening, and I love it. But, of course, I like hearing about the Wildcats more.
Sure.
And my question for Ben is what he thought about the dunks last night.
Thought about what?
The dunks last night.
Oh, by Kentucky?
Yes.
Well, you know, I can't comment on that really because the games were going on simultaneously, so I missed them because the Kentucky and Indiana games were going on at the same time. So I'm sorry I missed them.
Hey, Ben.
Now, I saw one on the highlight.
I was going to say, have you ever heard of SportsCenter?
Well, I saw one, and I will say just the one I saw, but I think it was I think that was
Carl
by,
Towns went down the lane.
No, it wasn't the Towns.
It was Aaron Harrison,
Harrison
on the live.
I saw
from
Harrison's.
Andrew.
Now, that was nice, I will say. Almost as good as Troy Williams. I will say
Troy
that. Almost as good as
he
Williams.
He can flush it. That was one of my best friends, Frog, who has called in.
I remember
he called
Frog.
In from Columbia.
You've this got a lot of cats and frogs
to
call.
I know. A lot of animals. But that was his oldest daughter, Frances. She was with us last weekend in Lexington for the Tony Delk, you know, game and all that kind of stuff. So
nice.
Thanks for calling in, Francis. You did a great job. So anyway, I was just wondering, back to the Big Ten Conference tournament, Chicago. How will the fan distribution be up there? Do you know? Will you go?
I can't go. If it was in Indy, I'd go.
Okay.
I can't go if it's here. But I'll say this: Illinois is an interesting team this year. And normally, I remember in 2005. When they were number one in the nation,
sure.
They had one loss. They were undefeated.
They were.
To the last game of regular season, and they lost to Thad Mott, Ohio State.
Was that Weber or Self?
That was Weber's second year or first
year.
Wow. They were undefeated until the last regular season game. They lost to Ohio State. Thad Mott ruined their undefeated season going into the Big Ten tournament. And that place was so Illinois because it was in Chicago.
Gotcha.
So, you know, Illinois is fighting to get in the tournament too right now. So
I saw a lot of your fans at Northwestern last night.
Yeah.
So you guys have a lot of fans
in
that area.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we do have a good alumni base there. So, I mean, how it'll be, I think it'll
Wisconsin.
Be mostly Wisconsin.
They travel.
And it'll be interesting to see with Maryland and Rutgers now in the conference. Because Maryland, both are far to travel. But Maryland's proved over the weekend they're for real. I mean, that was a heck of a performance by Maryland. So I don't know, to answer your question. I think it's going to be pretty evenly distributed. I think Indiana always travels well. Wisconsin will probably have the most fans. Michigan State travels well.
Yeah.
Plus, Chicago's not too far away. If it was Indy, it'd be most IU, most all IU
sure.
fans. But so, Purdue too. Purdue and Chicago is not far.
I have to say, last year Final Four in Dallas, we were really impressed with the Wisconsin fans. I mean, huge contingent down there, and man, I tell you what, I didn't realize they were that passionate about basketball, but they were there, big numbers, and they were a great fan base to hang out with. They were nice.
I'll say this. Yep, you'll see a lot of red because Wisconsin, Ohio State, Maryland, Indiana. I mean, a lot of teams are red in the Big Ten, so you will see a lot of red.
They're seeing red tonight in Bloomington, that's for sure.
Well, we'll get to that. On that note, I do want to finish up, Evan, and say, first of all, thanks again for Rick for taking time. Also, real quickly, and I know I wish we had more time, I want to talk about another hot button this past week, and that's the freshman ineligibility. I know we could talk probably the whole show about this. We only have a minute or two. But tell me kind of where you think it was originally proposed, or not even proposed, just kind of thrown
tabled
out there,
or
tabled
yeah,
by the Pac-12. Then Delaney, the Big Ten commissioner, kind of reiterated that idea or this past week.
It's
both Matt Painter and Tom Crean came out and said, unless it's a national thing, it shouldn't just be a conference thing. And I agree with that. So, you know, your thoughts on that. And again, folks, 812-426-7400 or tweet at Red Blue Hoops.
Well, I've got a lot of problems fundamentally with this proposal. And for those of you that are listening, if you watched College Game Day on ESPN last Saturday morning, the panel, the speaking panel, including Jay Billis and Jay Williams, they spoke about it. They were very outspoken against this this proposal.
Yeah.
And, I mean, think about this. They're proposing it for only two sports, football and basketball.
And football already has, I mean,
somewhat, but this is a different deal. Football is, once you commit, you're committed for 3 years. This is different. This is making freshmen ineligible. So it's only football and basketball. Why? Now, where's golf, tennis, volleyball, lacrosse? You know,
and that's
on
what,
down
if
you would have
had more time with Rick, I wanted to ask him he played during a time that freshmen couldn't play.
Right.
You know, I'd love to hear his thoughts or anyone that played during the time from, I think it was 53, 54, somewhere in there to 72.
Right.
As to when freshmen couldn't play varsity.
I saw one journalist write that this is totally reactionary to the success that Calipari and somewhat Bill Self, and now you're seeing Coach K is changing. He's recruiting more one-and-done players. It's reactionary to those success stories at a few universities of trying to keep the freshmen off the court, but it's not going to happen.
By the way, how scary would you be if you were a Duke fan 2 games ago when Okafor went down on his ankle?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Well, they squeaked by Virginia Tech last night, which is
ranked. And that Carolina-Duke game was a heck of a game,
I will
say.
Duke's not good defensively, Ben.
I love Duke.
No, I'm just saying they're not good defensively at all.
I know. On that note, Evan.
Yes, sir.
Upcoming games, we're going to finish up the regular season here. I can't believe it. Just a week and a half left and the regular season's over. Unbelievable. I'll go first if you don't mind. This Tuesday, I mean, I'm just going to come out and say it. It is a must-win for the Indiana Hoosiers.
Hey, Bree, can you put a marker on that comment so we can replay that next week?
You can mark it. You can circle it. You can highlight
it. We can call that back up next week, Bree.
It's a must-win for my Hoosiers, and they will win. That's at home against Iowa. I so wish I could go. I have a conflict that night. I cannot go to the hall, or as Gus Johnson calls it, the Carnegie Hall of college basketball.
Question, what time's the game?
The game is, it's either 6 or 8. It's 6 o'clock. It's the early game, yep. Thank
you,
Walker.
I'll make an offer. I'll watch the Indiana game with you if you watch the UK-Georgia game with me afterwards.
We'll work that out between now and Tuesday. But the point is, Hoosiers must win at the Hall Tuesday night against Iowa, Iowa won 4 of the last 5, 3 straight. They won a big one last night against Illinois. They've got a great player in Aaron White, who had 29 last night. Fran McCaffrey, kind of a hothead, but he can coach that one. And then followed up the following Saturday to wrap up the regular season at home against Michigan State. Ooh. Obviously a well-coached team. Tom Crean's predecessor.
Mentor,
Mr. Tom Izzo, who he was assistant for back in the 90s, into 2000. And those are the last two games for Indiana. Iowa at home Tuesday. Michigan State at home Saturday.
All right. That's going to be interesting to watch. A must win.
Must win Tuesday. That'll be our 20 wins. Crean, once again, will win 20 games. And there you have it.
Well, okay, UK. Again, we're 28-0. This Saturday, we host the Arkansas Razorbacks on CBS Sports, 3 o'clock Central. Arkansas is currently ranked 31.
I will be watching
KenPom.
That because IU does not play.
Good. Arkansas, 31 on KenPom. I think they are 18th in the AP or whatever. I don't even follow that stuff much anymore, but they are ranked. I will say this. Arkansas is 12-3 in the conference. They're in second place behind UK. They have won 7 in a row. Earlier this week, they hosted Texas A&M, which is playing pretty good ball, and Arkansas was rolling them out of the gym the first 25 minutes. Now, Arkansas fell asleep. Arkansas has a tendency to go through scoring droughts. They let A&M back in that game. A&M had a chance to take the lead. Arkansas is currently ranked 30th offensively, 76th defensively. So can Arkansas stop Kentucky? I don't know. But Arkansas.
Is it the first time they've played?
Yes, only time they've played
right.
this season.
That's right. Interesting.
Arkansas is coached by Mike Anderson, who played for Nolan Richardson at Tulsa.
That's
and
right.
And was a longtime assistant back when Arkansas was during its heyday in the early to mid 90s, you know. My brother Lance, back in 93 SEC tournament, when we smoked Arkansas in the semifinal game, came up with a cheer that I hope we hear this Saturday, and that is pork chop, greasy, greasy. We beat the Razorbacks easy, easy. Go Wildcats.
Wow.
Anyway, next Tuesday, like I mentioned, Ben, the invitation's open.
Okay.
We can watch Iowa at Indiana and then Kentucky on the road.
What
at
about,
Georgia.
What about at Jimtown, at Marlins Bar?
I don't know if I can handle that.
Well,
do they smoke there?
No.
Okay.
I don't think you can.
You know, I don't know. They change that rule so often, I can't keep track of it. But we are on the road at Georgia. They're ranked 38th. We've already played them this year. We beat them at home by only 11. Georgia has just won two really good road games, at Alabama and at Ole Miss.
Yep.
They're ranked 38th on KenPom. It could be a tough game for us because the first time we played them, their best player, Marcus Thornton, was on the bench. He's now playing. It's interesting, Ben. You'll appreciate this. Georgia is a very well-balanced team. They have five players averaging double figures, so it's a very balanced squad. Should be a great test for UK. Again, final road game, and hopefully another notch in undefeated season. So I'm looking forward to that game next Tuesday night, and that is on ESPN. 8 o'clock Central.
You know, real quick, and I know we got to get to, I don't even look at KenPom anymore. Here's why. Florida, 49th KenPom, they're 13-15. You think they won't even make the NIT if the tournament started today because the NIT have to be 500 better, but yet they're 49 KenPom. So at this point, I'm just looking for teams that are going to make the tournament. Not
sure, I understand.
You know what
but
I'm saying?
It's still,
I know, it's
people
still
look at BPI, RPI.
I got you.
It's an expanded version of both, and it's highly respected. And I will say this. This year's Kentucky team has achieved the all-time highest ranking in KenPom history since 2002.
Hang a banner. All right, for that. Not a real one, but for KenPom. On that note, let's talk about the local teams. University of Evansville men's basketball team had a scare yesterday when the plane they were on made an emergency landing in Iowa. Ooh.
That's a sensitive subject for U of E.
It very much is. According to the Twitter page of Lance Wilkerson, Director of Development for Athletics and Aces Basketball Play-by-Play Broadcaster, this happened early Thursday morning. WFIE reports Wilkerson said the plane had an issue, turned back, and landed in Waterloo. He said a fire truck was waiting on the runway as a precaution. Wow. Wilkerson tweeted, "Everyone safe and sound, staying another night in Iowa. Thank you, pilots. Never serious. Pilot being better safe than sorry."
Sure.
Northern Iowa then beat the Aces Wednesday night, 68-57. Northern Iowa, I think, now top 10 in the AP and coaches poll. The Aces finished their regular season this Saturday as they play host to Illinois State. And they're going for their 20th win.
You know, Ben, the discussion about U of E, the plane, and all that stuff brings back memories, obviously, for the U of E tragedy that happened in the late 70s. And actually, I don't think you know the story unless you've been in Jim Sangren's office, which you may have, and seen the photograph that he has. But
yeah.
I survived a plane crash, Athens, Georgia. It was January of 2001. Five of us flew down to watch Kentucky play at Georgia, and unfortunately, landing gear failed upon landing, and it was a very interesting 11 seconds of my life I'll never forget.
Wow.
And saw my life flash in front of me there for a while, but we survived, and I will tell you this, we celebrated life that night in Athens like I've never celebrated before.
I would do the same.
On to USI. USI beat St. Joseph College 90-65 last Saturday. USI will close out their regular season tonight in Louisville against Bellarmine University. So good luck to the Eagles.
Good luck
speaking
to the
of
Eagles.
Louisville, man, tough situation going on there with that program.
Tough situation, wow.
Very sensitive subject.
What was the stat you told me this morning about Louisville?
Well, for listeners, surely you know what's going on, but unfortunately a Louisville player has been dismissed from the team and has been charged with counts of rape.
Right,
and it's an awful situation. But someone sent me some information today about Rick Pitino, which, again, Rick –
rebuilt our
program.
Yeah.
But he's a different person at Louisville, no question about it. Just he's had only, I think, 5 players drafted from his program at Louisville. He's had 21 players either kicked off or transferred.
Counting this one?
Yes.
Wow.
That's a stat that you don't want as a
good
Hall of Fame coach. And wow.
Well, on that note, Evan, I will say this, and thank you for those that called in, and thank you to Rick Atkinson, former IU and Evansville native, IU team captain for the 1969-70 IU basketball team, first captain we've ever had call in. Next week, Evan, now check this out. Next week, I won't say who, I'll leave it as a surprise, we have by far the most famous, if you want to call it that, most known person to ever call in the show, IU just celebrity, at least in Bloomington, calling in next week. Try to figure that out, folks. It's going to be huge. What a show we have in store next week. Right, Evan?
Absolutely, Ben. I think other famous callers, Red Blue Hoops, 88.3,
Go Big Hoosiers. Blue.
Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger produces the show with help from Josh Wolski. The technical director is me, Brianna Williams. Thanks for listening.
Additional production support provided by Michael Kaufman. Support comes from Jackson Kelly PLLC. Jackson Kelly provides a full range of legal services, including corporate planning, litigation, environmental, and real estate law to clients in the Indiana, Illinois, and Kentucky region and beyond. Client focus, national reputation, industry insight. Learn more at jacksonkelly.com. And from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 1-800-362-1368. And from Accuride Corporation, a supplier of components to the North American commercial vehicle industry. With global headquarters in Evansville and a steel wheel plant in Henderson, Accuride is proud to be red and blue too. More information at AccuridCorp.com. The opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN Tri-State Public Media, its board of directors or staff. Or for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, or Notre Dame fans, Louisville fans, USI fans, certainly not Duke fans.